Okay, we're actually going to switch things up and do FSRN in a little bit. Before that, we're going to talk to Kezia, Michelle, and Maura about an event on Sunday that they're participating in called the Dream Caravan. So if y'all want to introduce yourself and say what role you have on Sunday, maybe a little bit about the event, what time it is, where it's at, how people can, get tickets. And then we'll get into some more details.
Yeah. So thanks for having us. This is my first time being interviewed on my show, so I'm excited. And my name is Kezia, and I do news and views, but I also do other things, including dream work. And on Sunday, we're having a big dream festival, basically. So all three of us worked with the same teachers, learning a particular type of way, a methodology of working with dreams, and we created this event to help promote that methodology as well as just uplift dreams more generally, because we've all found them to be very effective and powerful in helping people understand themselves and see ways for transforming and healing themselves. So the event on Sunday is at the Arts Estuary. It's 1024 Elysian Fields, and it's from 11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. And throughout that day, there's going to be workshop, there's going to be lecture, there's going to be a concert by the local band Fever Dreams at the end of the day. There's going to be healers there to do all kinds of different kinds of healing work. And everyone who comes can have a one-on-one dream consultation. So if there's a particular dream on your mind, there's going to be space and time to have that private reflection as well. So, yeah.
Thanks, Kezia. My name is Laura Smith, and I'm a dreamwork practitioner from Vermont. So I flew down here to participate in our dream retreat and dream conference that we'll be hosting this weekend here in New Orleans. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for having me on the show. And, I just love working with dreams because dreams bring us the wisdom that we may be seeking for. We may not even know what it is that we're looking for. And if we look to our dreams, we often do receive very important messages. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that. I did want to say that I'll be working with my partner in crime here, Michelle. We're presenting a workshop at the Caravan called Bringing the Power of Dreams to 12-Step Recovery Work. So if you are somebody in recovery and are interested in learning about how your dreams might support the 12-Step work that you're doing, please come and see us at the Dream Caravan on Sunday at 1024 at Arts Estuary. I'll be also offering free one-on-one dream consultations. So if you have a particular dream, as Kezia said, feel free to bring it down, and we'll have a few minutes to talk about it.
Hi, I'm Michelle, and so glad to be here too. I actually attended Tulane University, so it's so neat to be at WTUL. After so many years, I went to architecture school here, and I practice as an architect, but I love dream work, and it has been such a powerful healing journey for me, and I've found that it's been so wonderful to work with others and just so amazing to have this gift we get every night that is like a gold mine. And so I enjoy so much that work. Like Laura said, we'll be doing a workshop on the 12 steps in recovery and how dreams support that. And also be doing an art installation that people can participate in. It's going to be a dream weaving where you take different types of paper and wind them through. And it's something we can all make together. So hope to see you on Sunday.
That's awesome. Thanks, y'all. So I'm a little bit curious about what you all find really important about the work of dreams. I know different people have different ideas about dreams. There's a big spectrum of, some people don't dream at all, and some people have really intense, in-depth dreams. And I'm wondering what you all think about how you can tap into those dreams, how you can be more aware, conscious of them if you feel like you don't dream, or if you, want to understand more. What are some methods to do that?
Yeah, I mean, so the first thing you ask is what's important about dreams. And when you say that there's all these different ideas about them, I think that's one of the things that I find really important and exciting about them the most, which is that everybody can have their own idea about them, and no one can really say for sure what they are, because everyone has their own individual experience of them. And I feel like that in itself is something that I love so deeply and find very powerful, that it's this thing that every single person experiences, that at the same time it's very private and intimate and personal. And I think that a big part of the way we look at the dream is just to allow each person to kind of have their own experience of what they feel their dream might mean, without trying. I mean, we're a little more on the spectrum of analysis to experience. We're definitely in the experience realm. Like, we just want people to take their dreams for what they are, and that would be the first and most important piece of advice I would give anyone interested in starting down a path with their dreams, is just to be as non-judgmental as they can and let themselves feel what the dream was bringing up. You know, it's really that simple, just letting themselves take the experience of the dream to heart as whatever that means to them, and trusting that whatever the dream might be bringing up, because of course I know a lot of people might have experiences in their dream that are troubling or scary or just too intense, and just really allowing yourself to integrate that experience on whatever level makes sense for you can be a great place to start on a dream journey. And then when it comes to just remembering dreams, if you're someone who doesn't remember at all, I would say, again, the first step is just to desire it and have the sincere intention to remember your dream. If you tell yourself, I'm going to remember my dream tonight, or you write yourself a letter, or you put a little symbol near your door, whatever it is to set that intention, and you have it sincerely, there's a good chance you're going to start remembering something.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting, because I remember when I had first seen, I think I saw a poster on a wall about archetypal dream work, and I thought, I wonder if that's what I see in my dreams, if I'm seeing archetypes. And I contacted somebody, and at the time I said, you know, I'm not remembering my dreams. I'm kind of in a dry spell right now. So, you know, I'll get back to you, and I'll maybe, you know, try to schedule something with you when I'm remembering my dreams again. And she suggested to me, she said, well, why don't you schedule something and we'll see what comes. And, of course, the minute I scheduled, I think it was enough, you know, intentionality that I placed there, that I a whole stream of dreams came. And they did not stop for, I mean, it was like 4 years of continuous dreaming, very intense dreams. And I appreciate you bringing up the, you know, what you're talking about, Kezia, with the, you know, intensity of what the dream material can bring. I mean, I believe dreaming is our birthright. We all are doing it. You don't need chemical stimulants to dream. So they're organic, they're natural, they're a part of our heritage as human beings, as a species. And so they are important. And, you know, we could probably have a whole show just on that. But, yeah, so thanks for mentioning the intentionality piece.
I think another thing about remembering your dreams is to have paper, or I actually use my phone, and I kind of open one eye and just kind of reach over. There's this very narrow kind of liminal space between being completely asleep and completely awake, and that's kind of the place. And so if you can wake up gently and kind of without moving your head, I think there's something very physical about even any kind of movement. So a lot of times I'll return to the position I was in last and be able to kind of recapture a dream. And I think the important thing is recording it right away. I do it on my phone, and then in 15 minutes I have no idea what my dream was. But as soon as I hear it played back, I'm immediately back in that place. So
right.
It's very helpful in that way.
And I know that y'all mentioned that there's a certain wisdom to tap into in that dream. And I think specifically it might have a role in healing. And I want to talk a little bit about why that might seem really relevant now. I know, especially in this political climate, a lot of people are feeling a little bit lost or broken, or maybe want that healing. So how can dreams play a role in that? And also in general, I know that they play a role in the 12-step program, so in general.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's true. There's been a lot that's come up in many folks, and I have a dream work practice. I work with individuals one-on-one, and I can tell you that folks have been coming into our meetings with a lot that's been coming up. And so I think the dreams will, on a larger level, they will speak to our deepest fears. But they will also speak to our greatest hopes. So they'll show us our challenges, and they'll also show us our gifts. So, you know, the healing really is in acknowledging the pain and the grief. And the dreams will, you know, and all of us have had dreams that have moved us. And also in recognizing that there's support for us. You know, the dreams will bring us the felt experience of what it's like to find higher power, to use a phrase from 12-step work, to find higher power so that we can know what it's, so that we can be supported in our daily lives. We can touch back into a dream moment. I won't speak for the others in the room, but I myself have touchstone dreams that I will return to over and over again because they carry a message of hope for me. And when we're in dark times, that is what we need. We need a message of hope. And we can find that within, and when we can find that within ourselves, then when we're in our world, in our daily living, we can be in our place of hope rather than in the place of despair. Because it'd be very easy to slip into despair with everything that's going on.
I would say in terms of the 12-step programs, too, there is typically addiction is related to the idea of it's usually symptom and their underlying issues. And dreams have a particular way of getting into very deep work very quickly and kind of begin to address some of the issues that really kind of the addiction is in relation, like, I don't want to feel this, I don't want to experience this, this was so difficult for me. So their way, and I think that what's special about dreams is they come through you. You wake up with the dream versus someone that's a therapist, for example, trying to figure out what's going on with you. It comes through you, and in a very gentle way, you're able to see things that are very difficult, and I just don't know of any other method that works as deeply, as quickly, and as gently as dream work.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to the question of how dreams can be helped with healing, so I guess about 7 years ago, or 2009, I started working with dreams, and I guess about four or five years later, I started working with people one-on-one, and I was kind of annoyed that I had this method in the sense that it was so powerful and, it confronts people. And I think that there's a lot of healing methodology out there that is, and I agree that they can be gentle, but at the same point, dreams are very strictly honest. I always feel like they have no concept at all for how we might feel about what they're showing us, you know? Like, they don't have any regard for our ego, really, you know? And they're just like, oh, looks like you're doing this. Looks like you're doing this. Looks like you're doing this. And you're like, I don't want all this truth. Or at least that's how I feel sometimes when I'm like, trying to encourage other people to be down this method. I always understand the resistance to it because there's a lot of honesty in the dream, a lot of honesty. But I feel even more invigorated now in the political climate that we're in, that people need to have that degree of honesty with themselves. I think that a big reason why we are where we are is that desire to just shut our ears and shut our eyes and not want to look at what's inside of us and how what's inside of us affects everyone around us and everything that we're doing. And I've also found in that space and time, like from when I first started encouraging people to, you know, use dreams as a healing tool, that people are more ready. And there is more of a desire to have that kind of honesty, have that kind of vulnerability, and have that kind of dialogue that is really rich. And I guess in terms of healing overall, I think there's a lot of things that can make you feel better. But dream work isn't always about making you feel better. I think what it's really about is making you feel like who you really are. And who we really are is people who are grieving, people who have been wounded, people who have been abused, people who are so creative, people who are so hopeful, people who are so imaginative. So we are a complex thing, right? And we're not just one thing. And dreams are so talented at showing us that complexity and those contradictions and helping us to be embodied in who we really are. And that's the kind of healing I'm interested in. You know, I'm not really looking for healing modalities that are trying to help people feel better. You know, I want people to feel whole, and that wholeness includes, you know, that grief and also that love and that all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're talking about is bringing the, you know, the full breadth and depth of the human experience includes all these things you're talking about, grief and pain and love and joy, and is part of the rich tapestry that, again, is part of our birthright. We don't exist on the planet to just simply feel good, but we have a richness to the felt experience, and there's a certain sensuality in feeling the full spectrum of what is possible to be felt. I mean, Eskimos have, I don't know, 3,000 different words for snow, types of snowflakes or types of snow. And I think we probably could have that there's that level of subtlety and nuance in the felt experience if only we turn it within to find that and experience it. There's a nuance of feeling. It's not just anger. It's not just pain. It's not just love. There's a spectrum within each one of those feelings. It's very nuanced. And when you begin to open to that, the richness of the felt life comes alive. And that's what I'm looking for. I agree with you that it's not always going to be skipping happy, joyous, and free down the primrose path. Because sometimes dreams are confrontative. I think the gentleness, just to speak to that for a moment, can really take place within a supportive framework. So the container of working with somebody who has some experience working with dreams, if you're new to it, you know, it can help to provide a little bit of, you know, a container around, you know, approaching and entering into the dreams, because it can be very, very intense. And maybe you don't want to go in there alone to start with. Maybe you do want some help. So if that's something you're looking for, there are a number of us, three of us here in the room today, who do have private practices, and folks who will be at the Dream Caravan who you might be able to tap into as well.
Yeah, I think that support system is probably, seems pretty necessary right off the bat if you're really looking to dive in, because I know dreams can be really heavy. It is not just skipping all the time. I know I've woken up and kind of been like, oh, I'm a little bit shaken,
right,
for, you know, however long it lasts. Have you all done the Dream Caravan before?
Yes.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the community that you felt in that space, or, you know, having newcomers and people who have worked with dreams a bunch, and what it's like to get all those people together and what that feels like and looks like?
Yeah. So this is technically the third iteration of this event, although the first time we did it, we didn't call it the Dream Caravan. But basically, there's been a retreat led by my father, who is also a dream worker here in New Orleans that has had a practice for many years. And he had a retreat in the fall each year where he brought a lot of the people that he worked with and the other teachers that we've worked with over the years to help people dive more deeply and personally. And over time, as these people started developing into teachers of their own, we started adding this sort of public component to that retreat to invite more people into this work, because we're really passionate about it. And I mean, I've always just felt like dreams don't get their fair shake, you know, like why is there so much, you know, body work and Reiki and all these other astrology and tarot, like dreams need to be up there, you know? So that's been, I'm kind of an activist in that way. And so that's been part of the motivation for creating this event. And it's been through some iterations. I think for me, I mean, these questions of what it means to look in the inside and be focused on the inner work and how that plays out in your world and in your community are really near and dear to my heart, and something that I struggle with. And in some ways, I think the caravan has been a sort of public working out of those different issues. And I'm in an interesting place this year. But I will say I'm incredibly grateful for so many different members of my community who have supported me, from the dream people, like these people who come from all around the country, and then other communities in the city who have shown me so much graciousness and support in creating this event. So to me, when you bring dreams into the mix of any kind of community event, it's like you're bringing in each person's little golden piece of their self, you know, and it's like glittering and it's strange and it's weird and they don't get it. But like, there's just something really beautiful about making space for each person in that way by honoring whatever dream they're carrying as intimately as we can. So that's part of the desire for Sunday, is that whoever comes can experience that kind of community where they can feel safe to explore that place inside of themselves and be inspired to continue down a path of investigation. And yeah, I mean, I think what Laura said, like that there, it's really important to have hope in these dark times. And I feel even more so that we need to be able to dream. And it's not a coincidence that the dreams we have for ourselves and our world and the dreams that we have at night is the same word. Because I think what it means to dream is to face into the reality and then feel into how it could be different. And you need both of those things, I think, to dream well. We can't just pretend, we can't really dream well unless we see how things are. And so that's what I feel is happening when we dream at night. You know, we're being shown what we really are and who we really are and what's really going on. And from that reality, that's how we can step into the next step.
Right. Our dreams for ourselves.
Right.
In our lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's huge. I mean, especially too, because it is such an intimate, personal thing. You're dreaming by yourself. You can't do it with anyone else. You have to kind of tap into that community if you want to kind of open that up and make it a little bit more crossover into your everyday life, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Do you guys have any final thoughts, anything else you want to share, any other insights about dreams that are on the tip of your tongue?
Well, I guess I'll just go through a few more things happening at the caravan, because there's a lot of stuff. They're going to be doing a workshop on dreams and the 12 steps. We're going to have another practitioner from Colorado, Mary Jo Hayen, who's going to be teaching us about, she's been doing a lot of work with people in hospice and how to work with people who are at the edge or the end of their life and the dreams that can come up at that time. And they're extremely powerful. And I think her work has been really groundbreaking, and I'm excited for that. We have another practitioner from Chicago who has also been a student of Marion Woodman, who is a great dream teacher who worked with James Hillman in the depth psychology movement. And she's going to be doing a workshop in relationship to Marion Woodman's work, which is going to involve movement. And then we have another workshop that is, the name of it is escaping me, but the premise of it is to embody your dream. So thinking about ways, and that's, I mean, you spoke to the sensuality, and it's a huge part of the work and a huge part of what we're trying to help people with, because the degree that we are detached from our bodies and our sensuality and our sense of ourselves is very damaging for us and for the world around us, right? Because we can't feel our own bodies. Is it any surprise that, you know, we're degrading the environment and we're not in touch with, you know, the physical world? So these things are all really connected. And so they're going to do a workshop about that. And then Roger Kamenetz, my father, is going to be giving us a lecture about dreams and poetry and the imagination and all of the ways that these things can be connected. And then there's going to be an amazing dream poetry reading from some really incredible poets in the area, including Niyi Osundari, who is a great professor at UNO, a Nigerian poet, Rodrigo Toscano, and Bill Lavender, Britt Estep, and Elizabeth Gross. And I'm going to be doing a little shamanic journey at the end of the night. And that's going to lead into the concert by Fever Dreams, who are a very beautiful band, ethereal music. So by the end of the day, it's going to be pretty chill. It's going to be deep chill at the caravan. And so the way it works is, you can just come on by. It's 1024 Elysian Fields, and there's going to be some food. There's going to be a bunch of vendors selling stuff. There's going to be healers. So it'll be a really sweet day. Yeah, tickets. So you can get a ticket. You can go to thedreamcaravan.com and get yourself a ticket, and that'll help. And that'll sign you up to get the workshops, which are going to be going on earlier in the day, and the lecture. And then from 4 p.m. on, whenever the poetry reading starts and on to the concert, entrance is going to be by donation. So if you're not up for all the workshops and the lecture, we really do hope you'll join us towards the end of the afternoon and enjoy the concert and get a one-on-one dream consultation, get a healing, check out our vendors. And, you know, enjoy the day with us in that way.
Yeah, I'm just really excited to be here and excited to be out of that icy, snowy weather we're having up in Vermont. It's nice to be down here in New Orleans. It's a city where I feel that it's the perfect setting for stepping into dreams. And excited to meet any and everybody who comes to the Dream Caravan to see what we're doing and what we're all about. And I had this, I had this quote that I thought was really appropriate that a rabbi once said long ago, which is that a dream not understood is like a letter unopened.
That's beautiful. That's perfect. Cool. Thank you so much, Laura and Michelle, for coming by, and Kezia for being on the guest mic today. That was really cool. So I hope everyone checks out the Dream Caravan on Sunday and taps into that other part of their self and their being.
Thank you
so
much for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.